Very good morning to everyone. Very good. We are coming towards the end of our sermon series on Jubilee. And throughout this series, we focused on 6 R's. So test whether you remember. What is the first R? What? Rest. The first R is rest. The second R? Release. Release. Then renewal, we talked about it last week, and today we are looking at restoration. The next week, which I'm looking forward to, is reconciliation, and then finally, we will focus on rejoicing. Let me begin this morning's sermon by sharing a true story of Chiyuin Sugihara. He was a Japanese diplomat stationed in Lithuania, a very small country near to Germany. During the Second World War, he was a Japanese diplomat there. And as the Nazi forces advanced, thousands of Jewish refugees desperately sought escape, but most countries refused them entry. Sugihara faced a momentous decision: obey his government, which is Japan, the orders not to issue visas or risk his career and perhaps even life in order to help the desperate Jews. But moved by compassion, Sugihara began issuing transit visas to Jews, working tirelessly. In those days, there was no computer. And so sometimes he worked for as long as 20 hours a day, handwriting visas, even as he was ordered to leave the country by Japan. And through his actions, he enabled more than 6,000 Jews to escape sudden death. You remember the Holocaust? Many Jews, millions of them, were gas chambered. And therefore, restoring their hope, their dignity, and their future. Sugihara paid a heavy price for his action. When he returned to Japan, he was dismissed from diplomatic service, and he lived in obscurity for decades. But the restoration that he gave the Jews, the 6,000 plus of them, had ripple effects. They began to rebuild their lives, their families, and their communities. Decades later, Sugihara's story surfaced, and he was honored as one of the righteous among the nations by Israel. His legacy was restored, celebrated, and honored. By the way, he's called the Schindler of Japan. You know, the other guy who also rescued many Jews during that time. His sacrificial action brought restoration to thousands who had lost everything, and he returned to them what was lost. Most important, freedom, dignity, and the chance to live. His story reminds us that restoration often requires courage, compassion, and sometimes even personal sacrifice. So, brothers and sisters, may Sugihara's story inspire our Jubilee celebration. Because restoration is not only about receiving all the blessings from God, but it's also about giving hope and new beginnings to others. So let us pray. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we gather to celebrate 50 years of your unfailing love and guidance. We ask your Spirit to move among us this morning, opening our hearts to your word and your restorative power. And so as we reflect on Jubilee, may we be renewed, restored, and inspired to seek you afresh. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate our Jubilee this year, let us embrace Jubilee not merely as a historical event, 50 years of God's faithfulness for us as a church, and not merely as a historical event, but also as a spiritual reality for today. God's heart is always for restoration, renewal, and fresh beginning. So Leviticus 25 verse 13 says, declares, in this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. This is more than a command. It is a promise of restoration, a call to reclaim what has been lost, broken, and stolen in our lives. But how do we experience this restoration in our own lives? You see, God lays out a pathway for us, a journey of restoration in three steps. So let us journey together this morning through these three steps: seek, surrender, and step forward. So the first step is to seek God's presence and purpose. Restoration must begin with seeking God, His presence, His purpose, and His wisdom. You see, the Israelites were called back to their inheritance. But first, they must turn their heart towards God. And God promises us in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This verse was given to God's people living in exile. They were far away from home, having lost everything in their homeland and been abandoned in a sense. But God assured them, restoration begins with seeking Him wholeheartedly. So it isn't a half-hearted search for or a casual glance. It's a passionate, persistent, and genuine pursuit of God. So the promise is clear. When you and I seek God with all our heart, we will find Him. So as we think about Jubilee this year, brothers and sisters, it's not half-hearted returning to God. It is a wholehearted experience. Imagine a child lost in a crowded shopping mall. The child doesn't just look for his parents around casually. He desperately searches for his parents, pushing through the crowd, shouting and crying out for his parents whom he had lost. And when the parents hear and responded to his cry, there is a joyful response. That's not a lost child. You see, brothers and sisters, you and I must have the same intensity in how God wants us to seek Him, not being distracted, not half-hearted, but with our whole heart. We must have the same desperation. Or consider people searching for a hidden treasure. They don't stop after a few days or even a few months. They dig, they investigate, and they kept on going until they find the hidden treasure. God says to us this morning, brothers and sisters, when you seek me with the kind of intensity, you will find me, He promised. So, brothers and sisters, throughout this Jubilee year, for practical applications, let us set aside dedicated time for our daily devotion. If it's not already a priority, brothers and sisters, this Jubilee year, you and I should restore our daily devotion if it's not already a priority. Not just as an afterthought when we are distracted by so many things. Let that be our priority. Ask God to remove distractions and help you and I to focus our hearts on Him. pray for a passionate heart to know him more, especially those of us who have been Christian for many years. Sometimes we just let rest on our laurels. We don't have the same intensity. Let us ask God to restore to us the first love that we have for him when we first came to know him. And when you feel distant from God, tell him. He welcomes honesty, and he promises to draw near to those who seek him with all our hearts. And in our CGs, let's encourage one another to make our monthly prayer meeting a priority. That is part of seeking God. We are seeking God together corporately. And if you are a CG leader, let me urge you as your pastor to model that example to your CG, and so that you can gather your CG together. That's part of seeking God. We cannot seek God half-heartedly. Only 30 or 40 people come. This Jubilee year, let us make our monthly prayer meeting a priority. Seek the Lord with all our heart. Psalm 27, verse 8, the psalmist says, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." You see, King David wrote this psalm during a time of trouble. Despite his enemies pursuing him and the uncertain times, his heart responds to God's invitation to seek him. Seeking God's face means pursuing a close, personal, intimate relationship with him. Not just seeking blessings from God, not just having head knowledge about who God is. And if you have been Christian for many years, we already know our Bible very well. We know almost everything about God. We sometimes may boast. But do we know him intimately as we did some years ago? David's response was immediate and personal. "My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." This is an expression of love, of dependence and trust. Think of two close friends. You know, it's possible to be in the same room and yet not truly connect, or in the same house but not truly connect. But when one turns to the other, looks into the other person's face, and then listens to one another, a deep connection happens. And that's what God desires of us, brothers and sisters, in this Jubilee year. David isn't content with distance. He wants to have that face-to-face encounter with God, experiencing his presence fully. Or picture a sunflower, you know, following the sun's movement throughout the day. And it will face towards the sun as the sun moves across the sky, seeking the source of light. In the same way, David's heart turns towards God, seeking his presence. So for practical application, brothers and sisters, may this Jubilee year be a time where we spend time worshiping God in our daily lives, focusing on God's character, not just the requests we bring to him. Make worship and enjoying God's presence vibrant in our life, so that when we come together on a Sunday, you know, we can offer God a corporate collective worship. Practice silence before the Lord throughout this Jubilee year. Listen for his voice, and then let our heart respond. Move beyond transactional prayers when we keep asking things from God. I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray and ask things from God, but move beyond that, transactional prayers, to relational prayers, to being in the presence of God and enjoying his presence. And then in our CGs, let us share testimonies of how God's presence has transformed our lives throughout this Jubilee year. So in summary, both Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and Psalm 27, verse 8, teach us that God is not far from us. Yes, He is the transcendent God, but He's also immanent. He's near to us. Restoration, especially in this Jubilee season, begins when you and I seek after God with all our heart, not just for what He can give, not just for His blessings, but because of who He is. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. And when we pursue Him intimately, our lives will be changed. Our lives will be transformed. But seeking God's presence is just the beginning. Why? Because there are many things in our lives that can hinder restoration. Our hurts and wounds that have not been dealt with, our habits, even our attitudes can keep us from experiencing God's fullness. And so when we truly seek God, God will put His fingers on areas in our life that needed restoration. And this leads us to our second step. Surrender what hinders restoration. You see, Jubilee required the Israelites to surrender their claims to forgive debts and then to set captives free. Who are these people who do all this thing? It is the well-to-do people, because, you know, through their wise management, they have acquired lands from others. They have also accumulated a lot of wealth and slaves also, because those who were poor had to sell themselves sometimes and their families. But now in this year of Jubilee, this better-to-do people in among God's people have to surrender all these things. See, restoration is impossible without surrender, letting go of things in our life that may stand between God and us. It could be possessions, it could be hurt feelings, it could be our pride, anything that stands between us and God. And to truly return to what was lost, we must be willing to surrender these obstacles to Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Here, Romans 12, verse 1 marks a pivotal transition in Paul's letters to the Romans. After explaining the depths of God's mercy and grace for 11 chapters, from chapter 1, Romans, to chapter 11, Paul now urges the Christians in Rome to respond with total surrender. Not partial, but total surrender. And so here, the call is radical. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a very radical call. You see, in the Old Testament times, a sacrifice meant placing an animal on the altar and then killing it. That's a sacrifice. And then giving it, offering it fully to God. And then Paul now transformed this image. He calls us not to just a one-time sacrifice, but an ongoing daily surrender. So the present imperative tense that he's using here, present your bodies, is an ongoing daily sacrifice. Unlike dead sacrifices, a living sacrifice means our entire lives, our will, you know, how we make decisions, our desires, our actions, our bodies are yielded completely to God. Continually is a daily experience, the present tense. And then Paul says this sacrifice, this surrender is holy and acceptable to God. It's not just ritualistic, but it's a genuine devotion. Why it is acceptable? Because in the first 11 chapters, Paul talks about all the grace and mercy that God has showered upon us through his son, Jesus Christ. And then he calls it spiritual worship. So worship, brothers and sisters, is not just confined to a Sunday morning like this, where we come, have 20, 25 minutes of worship. That's worship, all right? But that's not all that is to worship. Worship is the daily act of giving ourselves to God, allowing God to work in and through our lives, in our respective spheres of influence. Whatever we are doing house chores, working in the marketplace, being in school studying or training, if you are an NS man, all this is part of our spiritual worship. Think of a battle where one side raises a white flag, surrendering to the other. The fighting stops and peace begins. But many times we hold on to control, our pride, or our hurts and wounds, refusing to surrender them to God. But when we raise our white flag to God, we stop fighting against him, and we allow his peace and his restoration to begin in our life. Or imagine a potter working with his lump of clay. If the clay resists, it can't be shaped. But when the clay is soft and pliable and surrendered in the potter's hand, it becomes a beautiful vessel. Our lives, when surrendered, become masterpieces in God's hand. So just now, earlier on, our sister Linda mentioned about Pastor Tiffany's testimony. You must read it. I just read it in between service. How God can use an ordinary young woman and make her into a masterpiece that he can use for his glory. It's not in your bulletins, but you must, I heard that you must take down the link, the QR code, and then read it. And there are so many stories. We have heard a few already in our church, how when we are surrendered to God, God can use us for his glory. For practical applications, let me suggest that throughout this year of Jubilee, let us begin each day with a prayer of surrender. Lord, I offer myself to you today. Guide my thoughts, my words, my attitude, my actions. Use me for your glory. Let me challenge you to pray that prayer of surrender every day. And then be prepared for God to open doors of opportunities for him to really use you, stepping out in faith. And when you pray that prayer of surrender every day, God will reveal certain hindrances, specific hindrances, identify what we need to surrender, perhaps bitterness, unforgiveness. Pride is a challenge. Maybe some unhealthy habits. And as we pray the prayer of surrender, I believe throughout this Jubilee year, God will do a work of restoration among us. Offer our time, our talents, our gifts, our resources to serve others, inside the church as well as outside, within our spheres of influence. So this is what it means to practically be a living testimony, surrendering our all to God. Be willing to embrace change. Be willing to let God shape our plans and our dreams, so that when opportunities for ministry or for growth arise, respond with yes. Yes, Lord. And then trusting that God's ways are always better than ours. Make worship as lifestyle this year of Jubilee. See every moment at home, doing household chores, or interacting with family members, or at work with our colleagues, or with our superiors or our subordinates, at rest, in school, in our army camps. See every moment as an opportunity for worship. Live with integrity and love, reflecting Christ in all that we do. And so that's what Romans 12 verse 1 challenges us to: surrender everything to God, not as a loss, but as the beginning of true restoration. Brothers and sisters, let me challenge you to do that. You'll be pleasantly surprised how God can use you for His glory and for His honor. So let us pray every day. Lord, I surrender. Make my life your living sacrifice. You see, brothers and sisters, when we surrender what hinders us, we create space for God to work. Restoration is not just about returning, but it is about moving forward, charting new territory in faith. And this brings us to our third and final point. Step forward into God's restored promises. That's what Jubilee means. Stepping into a restored inheritance, a fresh beginning. Stepping forward to claim God's promises and then walk in the new things that He has in store for us individually and corporately as a church. So let me use Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 to help anchor this point. So Paul said, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, when I read this verse of Paul, it is towards the end of his life when he was in prison in Rome. And he was reflecting on his personal journey. He had already achieved much in the past: his religious status, his education, his influence, which he considered all as rubbish in chapter 3, verse 8, compared to knowing Christ. And then he said this towards the end of his life. Instead of resting on his laurels, he said, "I've already done so much, I can take my time now to rest and enjoy life a bit." But he didn't say that. He adopted a forward-looking posture even towards the end of his life while being imprisoned in Rome. Forgetting what lies behind. This means letting go of past failures, regrets, hurts. Yes, even past successes that can keep us complacent or bound. It is not about erasing past memories, but rather refusing the past to define or limit our present and our future. You know, past successes, past victories can limit how we serve God today because we think God always worked this way. No, God is not like that. God works in different ways. And you and I must develop that close intimacy with Him to sense how He's leading us in this present season. Straining toward what is ahead. Now, this speaks of active, focused effort. It's not a passive, laid-back kind of attitude. It is leaning forward, reaching out for the new things that God has prepared. So restoration is not passive. We just stay there or stand there or sit there and then God just restores us. No, it's not like that. It requires intention and faith, straining forward to what lies ahead. And then pressing on towards the goal. Here Paul uses the imagery of a road race, a marathon. And the goal is the fulfillment of God's calling. Eternal life, Christ-likeness, and the unique purposes that God has set for each one of us. Each one of us, brothers and sisters, has a calling. Not necessarily full-time service, but each one of us has a calling in this season of our life, in this jubilee year of our church. The prize is not just heaven. The goal is not just heaven, even though that may be our ultimate goal. But it's the full experience of God's promises right now, here on earth, in this season of our life. So for Jubilee, brothers and sisters, this means stepping into our restored inheritance, leaving behind what was lost or broken, and then walking confidently into the new beginnings, the fresh beginnings that God has offered us. So imagine a runner in a marathon. If he keeps looking back at his competitors, at the miles he already run, he may, if he's not careful, stumble and fall. To finish well, as he entered the stadium, he must go one more round in the stadium towards the finishing line. Despite the exhaustion, he must continue. So it is our spiritual journey. We must fix our eyes on God's promises and keep moving forward. Just like a caterpillar must leave its cocoon to become a butterfly, you and I must be willing to let go of our old shell, so to speak, and then step out into the new environment that God has for us, lest we not fulfill the destiny that God has called us. So, brothers and sisters, this Jubilee year is a time to leave the cocoon of the past and to step forward into the new life, the new opportunities that God is giving us. Or after a fire, a community cannot be rebuilt by clinging on to the old debris. They must clear away the old debris, all the burned down the debris, before they can construct new homes. So for practical application, brothers and sisters, let's let go of past disappointments. Don't let past failures or missed opportunities hold us hostage. Instead, pursue new things for the Lord. Ask God for the courage to step out in faith this Jubilee season. Perhaps a new ministry. Perhaps a deeper prayer life. I believe when we are walking intimately with the Lord through prayer, He will show us what we need to do. Perhaps reconciliation with someone, which I'll talk about in detail next Sunday. Begin to dream again. And then write down those dreams that may have lain dormant for lack of courage or fear, and pray for the courage to pursue them. It doesn't matter what season of life you may be in, because if God has put a dream in you, He will give you the ability to fulfill that dream. Stay focused on the prize. Each morning, dedicate your day to press forward in Christ. With the help of the Holy Spirit, reveal what is the finish line that God intends for you. Growing in faith, in love, and in service. And then in our CGs, let's support one another to move forward, sharing testimonies of restoration and new beginnings. You'll be surprised that someone's testimony or your testimony may encourage someone. And then celebrate milestones, mark moments of progress, celebrate restored relationships, answered prayers, or new and fresh ministry opportunities, all this as signs of God's faithfulness. So in summary, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 calls us to the very heart of Jubilee. Leave the past behind, strain forward to what lies ahead, and press on to claim the prize of God's restored promises. So restoration is not just returning to what was lost, but stepping boldly into something better, something new. And so in response, brothers and sisters, let us take a moment now to be still before the Lord. God says in His Word, in this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. And to me, this speaks of God's destiny for each one of us. God has a plan, a purpose for each one of our life. And so this morning, He's inviting us to return, not striving, not trying to prove ourselves, but just returning to where God wants us to be. So let's quieten our hearts, pause for a while, a moment. First, returning to God's presence. The Lord says, seek my face. And may our heart respond, your face, Lord, I will seek. So in the quiet of your heart, we whisper to the Lord, Lord, I am returning to you this very moment. Secondly, releasing what hinders restoration. Some of us are still carrying things God never meant us to carry. Regret, disappointment, fear, unforgiveness, fatigue in our soul. And this morning, God is inviting us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. Name before the Lord what you need to release, what you need to surrender. And as a simple act of faith, let it go. Surrender it to God. And then finally, gently stepping forward. The Lord is not only restoring what was lost, but He's preparing what lies ahead. So without striving, without pressure, let our heart lean forward towards God's purpose. Quietly say in your heart, Lord, I will follow you wherever you lead me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are the God of restoration. And in this Jubilee season, we return to you with open hearts and willing hands. Lord, we seek your presence and your purpose above all else. Realign our hearts with your will and purpose. Lead us back to where you want us to be. We surrender this moment everything that hinders restoration, every fear, every wound, every burden, every delay. Lord, we trust you enough to let go. And so this moment, by faith, we step forward into your restored promises. May you restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Restore unto us our first love for you. Restore hope. Restore calling. Restore faith. Return to your people what belongs to us in Christ Jesus. And mark us as a Jubilee people, restored by grace, renewed by your Holy Spirit, and confident in your faithfulness. And so, Lord, we receive your restoration in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.